Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Batman. Happy birthday to you.
This is the Bat Pod.
Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
Welcome to the Bat Pod, episode 11. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me tonight, Joey Galvez.
Hey, how's it going? Just for tonight?
Yeah, just for tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. You found somebody
just
else.
Just for tonight. You never know what will happen. So, as always on the Bat Pod, we talk about Detective Comics, Batman, and then one other book. And just to remind everybody, we're not a review podcast. We're more of a discussion podcast. We celebrate the characters in the Batman comic books and their creators. And tonight we're going to be discussing Batman 65, Detective Comics 999, and Nightwing number 57. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Let's get to the books.
The Bat Pod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
All right, guys. For our first book, we're going to kind of flip this one on its lid a little bit. I'm going to have the first book, and Bill is going to take the extra book this week. So Batman number 65 was written by Joshua Williamson. The artist is Gillum March, colorist Tamu Morey, letterer Steve Wands, and we got covers by Chris Burnham and Nathan Fairburn, and a variant cover by Jeffrey Allen Love, associate editors Brittany Holzer and Andrew Marino, and editors Jamie S. Rich and Paul Kaminsky. And Batman was created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger. In this issue, we open up the book with something very familiar. A young Clover family walking down what looks to be Crime Alley. A scenario similar to the Wayne murders plays out, but with one major difference. Claire punches a thug in the face, creating her own version of a more heroic origin story. Of course, all of this is a fantasy cooked up in Gotham Girl's head. When we conclude the zombie versus Batflesh slobber knocker, the fight causes the zombies to literally burn out. The Flash has some words with Batman and runs off to catch up with Gotham Girl. Claire and her newly revived brother terrorize the city. Hank quickly overpowers the Flash as Batman pushes the Batplane further than it has ever gone before. We see the super serum take effect extremely quick as the life force is literally sucked out of Hank, leaving him like a shriveled up raisin, just before he turns into a charred corpse. Claire then pulls a vial from her glove and injects the serum into her neck, which causes her to glow with power, leaving the story to be told in Flash number 65. So Bill, what did you think about this issue?
It was interesting. This is part 3. And you know, right off the bat, we see that origin of Gotham and Gotham Girl, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because this one happens in Gotham Girl's mind.
Right, right.
She wants a new origin, you know?
Yeah.
One better.
Right.
It's just the way her mind, she's gone. She's totally gone.
Yeah, she's just so stuck on wanting to be a hero. And because she wants to be a hero, she has to have this crazy, cool origin story. And she kind of goes into that a little bit here, that she's always been, you know, the I don't want to say outcast, but Gotham has always been the one who was, she even calls him her hero, you know. So she was always kind of, he was always stepping up for her and standing up for her when she was just kind of cowering to bullies and things of that nature. So I thought that was really interesting that we saw that here.
Yeah, and as you see her, you know, flying, she's like, I wanted a good origin story. She said, I could have landed. There's some good dialogue here by Joshua Williamson.
Right.
Says, I could have landed here in a rocket from planet Gotham, or been bitten by a radioactive gargoyle, or made from dark metal and blessed by the dark gods to be the greatest warrior on Earth.
This is some awesome stuff. And the artwork is so awesome too.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I love the relationship between Batman and the Flash here. They're at odds a little bit, but they are forced to have to work together and kind of team up. So I definitely love that kind of conflict going on there.
Well, they're at odds because, you know, what happened, Heroes in Crisis, Flash just lost Wally West, who looked up to him as a mentor. The Flash is getting attacked, basically. The Flash Museum got attacked.
Yeah.
His town is getting attacked, and he wants to put an end to it. And Batman's trying to save Gotham Girl.
Yeah.
He feels responsible because he kind of took them under his wing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this has all been set up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This has all been set up. And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Bane has set this all up.
Okay.
That he created these heroes.
Huh. That'd be an interesting.
But I don't think we see Bane in this book. I think whatever is being done now is not by Bane. It's from somebody else. And when we get to the end of the Flash book, I'll give you a reason why I think that is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I this one was so interesting. We see, obviously, while Gotham and Gotham Girl use their powers, they're slowly dying, and she brings her brother back. And he just, you know, he's fighting, and he's back at his best, and he's just going at it, and he's taking out Batman and the Flash and going back and forth. And you kind of see him, you know, kind of stop in the middle of his fight with the Flash, and he kind of starts to glow, and he almost looks like a wrinkled raisin here, and like the life force is getting sucked out of him. I loved this panel. This artwork in this panel was so amazing, so well done. I had to go back to it so many different times just to look at the artwork by itself. It was really cool.
And I mean, he's taking a Flash to the woodshed a little bit here. I mean, if he didn't like disintegrate, he might have killed him.
Oh yeah, he was definitely taking. He was definitely taking him out for a little bit. I like what he's taking him to the woodshed.
Yeah. And Claire, as we said before, Claire is totally gone. She wanted her brother back at any cost.
Yeah.
From the way it sounds, she had to attack the Flash Museum and to get her brother back. But, you know, he wasn't really coming back.
Uh-huh.
But she's like enraged now as we see the end of this. And is that cool or what when Batman arrives on the scene there and he throws, what do you even call that? It's like two balls with like some sort of cord attached. He throws it around her neck and it's like a bomb.
Yeah, that was so interesting. It was that we should have looked that one up. That one's one of the ones that we should have talked about, the weird things in his utility belt. Because when I saw that, I was like, man, that is so interesting. It wraps around her neck and it kind of blows up like a little incendiary, and it doesn't even phase her.
No, it doesn't even phase. It just makes her madder from the look of it.
And then he has to just drop down from his Batwing like a boss. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, when he's taking that Batwing and, you know, he's going at some of the higher speeds to try to get there.
Cause Flash took off before he could even think about leaving.
Yeah. And Alfred's like, you're getting ready to blow up the Batwing.
Yes. And he just says, push it.
You're exerting it way past what it's capable of.
But we see Claire here. She starts to glow, and instead of her life essence being sucked out of her like her brother just did, it almost makes her more powerful. She takes a vial out of her glove and injects herself in the neck with this serum. Obviously, both Batman and Flash, they're, you know, screaming and telling her, no, that's going to kill you. And this thing just makes her even more stronger. And it was really interesting. It makes me wonder if this serum that she had in her glove is like a concentrated new serum.
Well, it's probably what was injected to her brother. So It probably gives her a boost. But the more she uses power, you could see with those little zombified heroes that were resurrected last issue, they didn't last too long, and she's probably not going to last a long time in that state, is my guess.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see where that one's going to go.
After she starts to glow, we jump right into the Flash book.
And in this book, you kind of see that, you know, the Heroes in Crisis thing is still hanging out in the back of both Batman and Flash's mind. Flash here is kind of blaming himself for what happened to Wally West. That there was kind of powerful because he's, even though Batman wants to save Claire, you know, there's a little part of the Flash who wants to save her as well, because he doesn't want another superhero to die.
Well, and the other thing is, he keeps asking Batman, was Gotham Girl at the sanctuary? And he's like, I don't know, because in her lair, she had that gold mask like the people would wear walking around in the sanctuary. Now, there's not a lot from Heroes in Crisis besides the effect it's having on the two heroes and how they treat each other.
Yeah.
And obviously, she has the mask, but beyond that, there are no clues as to what's going on as far as that goes. You know, Batman's like doubly, this is getting to him double because everything that's been going on with Bane and everything that's been happening in his life. And he created the system at the sanctuary. So that's wearing on him too.
Yeah, that he can't figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Flash is kind of blaming him, but that doesn't do any more than that in this crossover. It's a tie-in. A lot of these tie-ins briefly touch on the main story, but it's not going to add a piece to the main story.
Yeah, yeah. You see more of the effects here in the Flash book than you did in Batman's book. So I did like the way they brought that into this part of the book. I almost feel like the Flash book was just a tiny bit stronger storyline-wise, only because you got Heroes in Crisis hanging in the back of your head, and then you kind of see the many different relationships between Batman and Flash breakdown. But not only that, you'll also see a little bit of a breakdown between Iris and Barry. And she even gets very upset at them because Claire kind of fizzles out and kind of falls, and it seems like she's about to die and there's no heartbeat. They're about to try to do some CPR and they can't really do it because she's got this, you know, she's got this superhuman strength.
And she's spitting out some black soot of some sort.
Yeah, super creepy and gross. but you see this breakdown between Iris West and Barry Allen, so it was super interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And she takes it out on Batman. She even says, I'm not afraid of you, Batman. All you've done is create more danger, put other kids in line of fire. And he actually gets slapped.
That was really interesting. She slaps him and then they kind of both go off and they take Claire to the Batcave. They kind of put her in a stasis in one of those stasis tubes and to preserve her so that they can figure out how to help her. And this is super interesting here. You get a little bit of a heart to heart between Batman and the Flash.
Yeah, some good characterization. They sort of, you know, this has been building up over time and it's sort of, they just let it out.
Yeah. It's almost like, to me, like it's like two brothers going at it. They're fighting and they're going to get a little physical, but they never really, you know, they kind of pull the punches a little bit.
Right. And Flash, you know, he goes at Batman.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to punch and he stops and there's a big two page, you know, of him going at Batman with his fist, and it doesn't look like Batman moves or flinches. Do you think Batman flinches there?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It doesn't look like he's flinching. He looks like he's grimacing a little bit, but maybe not flinching.
Or he knew Barry Allen, and he knew he wasn't going to punch him. But they don't leave on the best terms there.
Oh, yeah. But, man, that page spread there is awesome. When you're looking at that artwork, that stuff, the detail in each of their faces, the anger in Barry's face, the almost this, I know you're angry, I'm going to let you do this because you got to get it out. Face this feel in Batman's face. You can just completely read both of them in that panel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Flash, he goes home and he almost gets this, I don't want to say, what is it, like a Dear John letter from Iris, and she's gone. You kind of see these six panel page here where Flash and Batman are fighting in their respective places in Gotham and Central City. And they do what they do best to take their minds off of what's really going on. They go out there and fight some bad guys, right?
Take it out on the thugs. Need a punching bag, a live action punching bag.
Yeah. So what did you think about these last couple of pages here?
I didn't think they were too bad, you know.
So what do you think Batman's doing looking in that computer with all those superheroes?
Okay, this was what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
It's an epilogue. It says it's in the near future. He's looking at all the heroes in the DC universe, and him and Superman is talking. They said there's too many mysteries. We've saved the multiverse countless times. Somebody's turned one of these heroes. We have to find out who we can trust, who we can't trust.
Okay.
And Superman even says, Bruce, I don't even know if I can trust you.
Yeah.
And they even mention the Flash. It says, continued in DC Year of the Villain. That's why I think this crossover didn't necessarily have to do with Bane. I think Bane created the situation, and he's using her against Batman.
Okay.
Her being crazy, you know, the psycho pirate messing with her emotions.
Uh-huh.
I think that's all Bane, but somebody said they would bring Claire's brother back. Now, if all these villains, it says Year of the Villain, I don't quite know what that means, mm-hmm. but if all the villains are working together, it could be somebody, I don't know. It could be any of the big villains, you know?
Yeah, I definitely look forward to what's coming next.
Yeah. And the Flash and Batman really don't end on great terms, so.
Yeah. And that's what kind of a question is that? You know, we can trust Flash, right? What do you think Batman answers with that?
He doesn't really answer, so.
I don't know what he would be thinking in that moment either, though. He could be questioning, can we really trust him? You know, can we trust him to be with us, to back us up? You know, when things are getting tough, you know, he wanted to punch me in the face because all this crazy stuff. Can we trust him to be there with us?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's definitely interesting. So was there anything else on this book you wanted to add?
No, I think that was good. These books were awesome. I really love this crossover. The artwork was amazing on either book. It was just a good all-around story. Even though we didn't get any clues or answers or anything like that, I definitely enjoyed it.
No, we didn't get any clues, no answers, but yeah, it was enjoyable. So, let's head to topic of the week. So, welcome to topic of the week, and this week it's just the two of us, and we're going to have a casual conversation. We were talking about, you know, Batman movies and what the next Batman movie might be. And we were talking about what are some of the things that we'd like to see in a Batman live action that we haven't seen, or we haven't seen in a long time, or we haven't seen at all.
I thought when you brought this to me, this was such an interesting topic because I was like, well, what would I like to see? Because, you know, we've seen a ton of stuff. We've seen, obviously, villains and scenarios that, you know, the villains put together and all these different things and hints and at Robins and things of that nature. But we never saw a whole lot of things that I really would love. One of the first things that I thought that I really would love to see is a Batman Beyond kind of story. You know, just set that whole world up. Get away from this Batman stuff that we got going on now and bring us a future story. You know, how many different times did we see?
Oh, so you want to see Batman Beyond?
Yeah. How many different times have we seen this alternate future or this kind of, you know, weird, crazy future that we don't know, that we don't see here going on around us, flying cars and all this crazy stuff. I would love to see something like that. That would be, I mean, the technology's there to see this now. We can do a movie like this now.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think you would like to see as Batman in a Batman Beyond movie? I mean, the Bruce Wayne.
As a Bruce Wayne?
Yeah. Could you see an older Michael Keaton?
An older Michael Keaton. That would be really interesting. But I don't know if he's old enough to be. I mean, could.
Well, they can always make him older, but.
I guess, yeah, the prosthetics nowadays are really awesome. So, I mean, I think, yeah, that would be really cool to see Michael Keaton come back and reprise his role as Bruce Wayne. He would have to be, you know, a crusty old man and super, super, you know, angry at the world, but I think he could do it.
Yeah, that would be interesting, I do have to say.
Who would you like to see as Terry McGinnis?
It would have to be somebody young, like in their early 20s, I would think.
Okay.
Maybe even this kid, and I don't have his name off the top of my head, that's been in the new Star Wars movies.
Oh, okay.
That plays Finn.
Okay.
Maybe.
Or how about the guy who played Han Solo in the Solo movie?
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be pretty cool, man. Yeah. What would you like to see?
Well, the one thing that I want to see, and we've seen it, but we haven't seen it. I want to see the Batcave from the comics come into live action.
Yeah. With the dinosaur and the Big Penny?
I want to see all the vehicles. Not like, you know, not like Batman Forever, not like Batman and Robin, where you get all the cheesy stuff. But I want to see the Bat computer. I want to see the vehicles.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need to see the coin or the dinosaur.
Come on, man.
But I want to see something, you know, he's got the money.
Uh-huh.
I want to see more than we saw in, like, the Christian Bale version.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Where basically, he was just sitting in a cave. But yeah, that's the one thing that I would love to see.
Cool. Yeah. I think something else that I would really love to see is kind of a Jason Todd movie. You know, something that we see his whole entire story from the moment where he dies at the hand of the Joker, and then we see Batman kind of reeling back. And, you know, he's kind of trying to get over losing one of his partners. If we might even see Nightwing in there a little bit. So I think that would be really cool.
Well, haven't we seen that in Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, we did see a little bit of that in Batman v Superman. But I think if we just hone in on that kind of piece of that movie there and kind of stretch that out into some kind of movie, I think that would be really interesting to see something like that.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Another thing that I want to see is I want to see Bruce Wayne. I just don't want to see him in costume as Batman. I want to see Bruce Wayne, you know, as the millionaire. I want to flesh out a little bit about him and, you know, when we saw the Dark Knight movies, he sort of was the same in and out of the costume.
Yeah.
Except for one time he was like out at the bar with a couple women. But I want them to flesh that part of the story out a little bit.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I think the top thing that I would really like, you know, I think it has to kind of play off of, you know, the Christopher Nolan Batman Begins, you know, the first half of the movie where you see, you know, Batman or Bruce Wayne kind of, you know, and this would just be a solely Bruce Wayne movie, kind of like what you're thinking, but just Bruce Wayne, not as the millionaire, not as Batman, but as Bruce Wayne, who wants to overcome something and he wants to train. And it's a ninja movie, or it's him training, him seeking out these different trainers, and he wants to go out and master all these different, you know, skills, and pushes himself to the limit. And almost kind of like the books that we saw where he was, you know, where he went out and saw Thaddeus and they got trapped in the underwater and things like that. I want to see him go out there with [S2] Right. [S1] The trainers and kind of, you know, train. And you don't ever have to see him in a Batman suit. He doesn't ever have to talk about any of that stuff. Just a Bruce Wayne movie where he's just a ninja. You know what I mean? Training to be a ninja.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And I guess the other thing that I would like to see, I don't know if it's like my top thing, but I would like to see, you know, Batman as Matches Malone.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, it wouldn't even have to be a big part, but that would be pretty cool if that was like in a Batman movie.
That would be really cool to see a whole movie about just Matches Malone, about him going and moving up in the mob.
Be interesting. I don't know if a whole movie would work.
It would be a mobster movie, man.
Okay.
Who doesn't love a mobster movie?
Yeah, anybody, any Hollywood directors listening, Joey Galvez has some good ideas for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you guys can just name it Matches.
Matches, there you go. So, you know, if they ever make a movie called Matches, you know, somebody stole your idea. About
Matches Malone, there you go.
So yeah, that was a good conversation. A little bit lighter this week than what we usually been doing. So yeah, that was pretty fun.
I think it's more because we don't have Bob and all his crazy shenanigans going on.
maybe, yeah. We gave Bob the week off, so hopefully we'll have him back on real soon. So how about we head back to the books? Your next book is Nightwing number 57. Your plot, Scott Lobdell. Script, Zach Kaplan. Art, Travis Moore. Colors, Tamara Bonvillain. Letters, and World Design. Cover, Chris Mooneyham and Nick Villardi. Variant cover, Jeff Backel. Assistant editor, Dave Wagos. Editor, Katie Kubert. And your group editor is Jamie S. Rich. And Nightwing was created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez. In this issue, Rick Grayson has a walk in the park with his friend, who he wants to be more than a friend, Beatrice Bennett. He goes to help a homeless shelter from being closed by a councilman. The councilman gets kidnapped by the Joker's daughter. Rick Grayson agrees to help the Nightwings protect the city. And this issue ends with a councilman shows up at a restaurant as a suicide bomber. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
I liked it a whole lot because there was so much going on, but it just worked. And they do a really good job of kind of catching you up. And it doesn't feel like it's one of those books where, like, you know, they know that people fell off and they're like, well, this one's, we got to get people's attention again. And you know how some of those books as well, they kind of their flashbacks aren't as well done. This one was really good. It didn't really feel like they were trying to catch me up too much. It was really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically one panel that was like 3/4 of the page in a couple word boxes. Uh-huh. It catches you up. It's a good jumping on point, but I don't think that people aren't reading it or upset because that it wasn't a good story. I don't think they like that Dick Grayson doesn't remember who he is and that, yeah, DC went into this direction.
And he's still not.
But I think it's an interesting story.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's a story that we've seen.
Uh-huh.
And I'm interested in the progression that Rick Grayson, you know, doesn't remember anything. He has that muscle memory, but he's starting to be a hero, and you can really see it. Uh-huh. The end of the last arc where he jumped in, and you see that in the flashback.
Yeah.
Where he raced to help. He was helping the other Nightwings save the city.
Yeah, and they liked what he did so much that they're trying to recruit him a little bit in this book.
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of hard to hide his identity because he was a taxi driver and he showed up in his cab.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty easy to find them. But I don't know. Do you think they have an idea that he was Nightwing previously? It doesn't seem like they do.
The way this is written out, it doesn't feel like they know that he was Nightwing at all.
No, I didn't get that feeling. But the one thing I felt this book did, at least with a couple characters, with Beatrice there at the beginning, is you get some good characterization.
Oh, yeah.
What her character is. She's all about saving the homeless shelter, donating her time.
You don't really get that until he actually goes to the town hall meeting with her. Because in the beginning, you kind of just see that, you know, they're just two kids, you know, walking in the park and flirting with each other, just, you know, falling in love there a little bit. You don't get her character as well until she stands up in front of that councilman and kind of goes into him a little bit. And it's almost like Rick Grayson here is feeling that same way too, because he even says, whoa, I didn't know that she was this strong. She's the real superhero.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you see him smiling there, sitting there listening to her little speech to the congressman. He wants to build a sports arena and make the parking lot where the homeless shelter is.
Yeah.
People aren't too happy with that. So there is that scene where the two police officers are checking up on a gentleman that, you know, has some art tutors.
Uh-huh.
Some art tutors are missing and they go ask him a few questions, and as soon as they leave, he's like dancing around because he thinks he got away with it. And then the one Nightwing shows up.
The female Nightwing.
With her battering ram.
And when I read this page, she showed up almost immediately after they left, you know, or either that.
Well, and he's looking out the window and I guess he makes sure they get in the car, but it didn't look like it was like 15 seconds. Maybe she didn't get in the car.
So in one of those panels there, it kind of looks like she's about to, but I don't think she does.
Yeah.
But what's funny is
she must be wearing that costume.
That's what
put
I was
that on
say.
That quickly.
Either she's wearing this costume or he was dancing way too long in order for her to put this costume on.
Yeah, so she took care of him.
Yeah, stomped his face.
So we see the villain that shows up that I don't really know too much about.
Uh-huh.
The Joker's daughter.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what she's about. She's a little unpredictable. You know, she takes the congressman. I don't really know what she's going to do with she makes him wear a bomb there at the end, as we said. Yeah, and do you know how she got her face the way it is?
You know, I know, I haven't. I really don't know too much about her character.
Okay, well, when the new 52 started, Joker, like, had his face removed. And he was wearing his face when Death of the Family was going on.
Okay,
and when him and Batman was fighting, his face fell off. Somewhere in the depths of the Batcave and was floating. And this woman found his face, and now she's wearing Joker's face.
Oh, wow.
And I guess because she's wearing Joker's face, now she calls herself Joker's daughter.
Okay.
I don't have too much interest for the Joker's daughter, to be honest, but maybe this story will get me interested. So, is there anything else you want to add about this book?
All this stuff is awesome. What do you think, you know, is he going to go back into being a superhero? Because he kind of agrees to, you know, help these guys out, these new Nightwings.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a Nightwing as of yet, but he's slowly going in that direction. I mean, you know, he's going to lead to him becoming Nightwing eventually.
He still hasn't remembered anything, or maybe he's selectively remembering. But this is going to change him. This is going to change who he is completely. You know, once he, or if he ever regains his memory back, he's not going to be the same. I don't think so at all.
I don't know. You just have another writer come in and he's back to normal.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah, that's probably what's really going to happen.
So it would be interesting.
Yeah, pretty cool. I really like where this is going.
Okay. So let's head to Stump the Co-host.
Welcome to the Bat Pod Stump Your Co-host segment. Listen while Bill tries to stump his co-host. Can he do it? Let's wait and find out.
Welcome to Stump the Co-host. And today on Stump the Co-host, we have Joey.
Hey, how's it going? Who else would you have on Stump the Co-host?
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe that guy that you tried to hire in the beginning of this episode.
Maybe. Or what? What on a gal walks in a comic shop? Who's their audio engineer?
That never shows up.
Yeah, never shows up. Yeah, that guy.
It's that guy.
Yeah, that guy was going to be
on. He's going to be your new co-host.
There you go. So the theme on this week, Stump the Co-host, is Batman's vehicles.
All right.
And as always, there's cash and prizes at the end if you get both questions correct.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Batman's vehicles. I have a list of four vehicles.
Okay.
Three of the vehicles I made up.
Whoa, all right.
And one I did not.
Okay.
So you have to tell me which one is the real one.
Okay, I think I got this. Let's go.
Okay, Batman's vehicles. A, the Bat Unicycle. B, the Bat Pogo Stick. C, the Bat Big Wheel. What? Or D, the Whirly Bat.
Okay, man. These all have to be wrong. Okay, obviously not the big wheel. It cannot be the big wheel.
The Batman unicycle, the Batman pogo stick, the Bat big wheel, or the Whirly Bat.
Okay, the Whirly Bat sounds like something from Batman 66. I almost want to say that that's the helicopter.
So you think that's the real one?
I'm going to say that one. Yeah, I'm going to say that. The Whirly Bird is the real one. Okay,
final answer.
Yes.
It was D, the Whirly Bat. And its first appearance was in Detective Comics 257. And okay. It was like a one-manned helicopter.
Oh, man. The Bat Big Wheel? I was going to go for that one.
You should have. So you're one for one.
Okay.
Okay. So the Batman had a vehicle in the first issue that he appeared in.
Okay.
And what is the make of that vehicle?
Oh, the make of that.
I'm going to give you.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to give you one real one and three fakes.
Okay.
And we know that the first vehicle is red in color.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you the list here.
Okay.
Okay. Was it a 1936 Cord?
Ooh, okay.
B, a 1932 Cadillac. C, a 1930 Ford. Or D, a 1906 Chevrolet.
Oh, man. These are so hard. Okay. The A sounds like that's what it would be. But I'm a Chevy guy, so I might go with the Chevy. Oh, man. I really hope Batman did not have a Ford. Sorry, all you Ford guys out there. I'm a Chevy guy.
You think it's the Chevrolet?
No, I'm going to go with A. I want to go with A.
1936 Cord.
Let's go with A. Oh, I'm probably kicking myself.
If you said A, you'd have been correct.
Oh, okay. I almost changed it to Chevy.
Two for two. I can't believe
it. Did I win?
I can't believe it. You won. I can't believe
that's
it.
That's awesome.
I'm stunned over here.
Oh, man.
I'm stunned.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry,
Chevy guys.
This week.
That I didn't go with that. I'm glad that I didn't, but I'm sorry.
Would you like to know what you've won?
Yes, yes. Please send it to me. Tell me what I won.
It's coming. It's coming. You've won a year of the Jervis Tetch Hat of the Month Club. Yes, you get a different hat each month. Are you excited about that?
I am definitely excited. I've been wanting a green top hat
for my collection.
A green top hat. Okay, only one problem when you wear these hats. There will be time that's missing in your memory, like you don't know where you were or what you did. And if the authorities ever knock on your door and say, hey, you're wanted for questioning a crime, that could happen. But
okay.
That's worst case scenario, so I'm sure you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so, probably. I mean, I love hats.
I mean, if somebody identifies, you know, the jewelry store got robbed by a guy with a green top hat and a big ugly beard.
Hey.
Well, you might be in trouble.
Nah, well, I'm going to let them know that wasn't me because my beard is beautiful.
The beard. Okay.
Fear the beard, Bill.
Fear the beard. Okay. So let's go ahead and head back to the book.
Hey, Jared, I have a question.
What's up?
Well, I've been a part of the Longbox Crusade for about a year and a half now.
Yeah? No, that's not a question, man.
I know, I'm getting to it. That was called build-up. Like I was saying, I've been with the Longbox Crusade, and I have gone out and represented the show faithfully.
That's still not a question.
I'm still building up. I was wondering, could I be a part of the official promo? There's this great promo for the podcast that airs across podcast land, and it has Pat Sampson, the founder of the show, you, the art cell artist, and your brother Jason, a.k.a. Weasel Skull. But it doesn't have me, Delvin Williams. The Dark Web. Could you ask the guys if they would let me be a part of the promotion since you were the one who invited me onto the show?
Well, not to be a Mr. Quick to correct, but that was at least two questions. Still, I guess I'll ask. Let me go talk to the guys and you stay here.
Okay, great. Thanks, man.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Jared?
What's up, Jared?
I have a question. Delvin's been with us for like a year and a half.
That's not a question.
Yeah, I know. It's called build-up. Hey, can we finally include him on the promo? It's the least we can do. He doesn't know that we're getting paid yet.
And he never will. I mean, do we need him? After all, we already have the Longbox Crusade.
And I provide awesome synopsis and insight on Crusader Chronicles.
And I host Saturday Matinee Theater and also provide these nuts jokes.
Hey, I do that.
Me too. So we're fine as it is. What does Delvin do? We should just let him go.
Wait, he hosts Transformers Chronicles. You should know that, Pat. You're on that show. So what do you say? Can we keep him?
Fine, let's do it. Let's do it live! We could have done this with him in the room. It would have made more sense. Why is he outside?
I think we were doing a bit. Okay, let's do this.
The Longbox Crusade Podcast Network is the place to be if you like deep dives into comics of yesteryear with the Longbox Crusade. Chronological reading journals with Crusader Chronicles. Indexing forgotten TV shows, films, and serials with Saturday Matinee Theater. Pitting two randomly selected action films against one another in Action Film Face Off, cataloging the Marvel run of the Transformers comic with Transformers Chronicles, and whatever else the demented minds of Pat, Jared, Jason, and Delvin can come up with. If that sounds like it might be for you, be sure to subscribe to The Longbox Crusade on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much all reputable podcast feeds. Or check us out directly at www.longboxcrusade.com, where we continue our quest to...
Our last and final book is Detective 999. Your writer is Peter Tomasi. Your penciler is Doug Monkey. Your inkers are Christian Almy, Keith Champagne, Mark Irwin, and Jamie Mendoza. Your colorist, David Barron. Your letterer, Rob Lay. Cover, Monkey, Mendoza, Barron. A variant cover, John Byrne, Tris Mallhill. Assistant editor, Dave Wagos. Editor, Chris Conroy. And group editor, Jamie S. Rich. And continued from last issue, Batman is finally face-to-face with the person responsible for everything, a younger version of himself. A fight ensues, with us finding out exactly what Bruce's birthday present to himself is. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So... I know there's a lot of different voices on how this ended. Tell me what your thoughts were.
Oh, man. This one. Okay. I think when I read this, I think I told you, I don't know what to think. I don't know if I absolutely love this arc or I absolutely hate it. And I gotta tell you, as I sit here talking to you now, I still don't know. And I think it's mostly because of this book here, the end of the last book and then this book altogether. It's just, it's it's a whole lot to kind of, you know, take in. Batman was just, you know, he was sitting in some kind of this virtual reality suit, and he's just playing a game here. I don't know.
I tell you, I absolutely loved it. You know, Batman is ready for every scenario. A birthday gift, he puts himself through this VR program that tries to kill him. It was wild. It was crazy. It was almost unbelievable. I mean, you tried to think of who could it be? Who knows his identity? Who could it be?
Yeah, it's him.
When it started out, I really didn't know what was going on. If like some version of himself came to try to not have him be Batman anymore or something. I didn't know. But then when you find out what was really going on, it's like, I could see if people were let down. You know, I could see, but it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. You have to be a little crazy to be Batman.
Yeah.
he's not a sane guy. He goes to great lengths to be prepared for everything. Now, he's a human being, so he's not going to be prepared for everything. I don't want to see the Batman that is prepared for absolutely anything. He can never be defeated. He can never, you know, he's perfect.
Okay.
I want to see a defeated Batman at times. I want to see him come back from something.
Uh-huh.
This is helping him be the top of his game.
Okay.
Him attacking himself, basically. Now, yes, it was in his head, basically. So it was a very interesting story, and it was very original.
Yeah, you could definitely see
and
that.
And the artwork throughout was, yeah, and the artwork throughout was amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was awesome.
Yeah, and Damian's just discovering this weird way that he celebrates your birthday. And he mentions, he says, I'm sure Alfred could have baked you a cake.
Yeah, this is hilarious. Hey, man. It was just so weird. Like when I saw this, that it was him just celebrating his birthday in a VR suit. And I don't know if it was, I kind of felt let down, but then at the same time, I was kind of excited because I was like, ooh, this is awesome. I haven't seen that before. This is kind of a cool story. I liked it. And then I started thinking back to the other books. Go ahead.
But you know what? You felt the same way that Bruce did. You don't know what's going on. You don't know who did this. And when you're coming out of it, you know, you're reading it. And he's coming out of it. You're both figuring it out at the same time.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I guess that means he's you know, he got what he wanted. He built some this system to be better than him and to help him to kind of take him into this reality where he needs to be pushed further. He doesn't even remember that he was doing this, that he was doing this to himself at all. So I guess so. That's why it was such a cool story.
And you would have never guessed, you know, going through the story, there wasn't anybody out there that said, yeah, this is a virtual reality program that he's doing to himself to try to kill himself.
No, not at all.
Not to actually kill himself. And then you see at the end there exactly why he's doing this. How many murders have been in Gotham?
Yeah.
What improvement that he's made. His goal is to have no murders in Gotham. No crime in Gotham.
But yeah, still a really weird way to celebrate your birthday. Yeah, why don't you just get a cake or go out to your favorite restaurant?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. So he's a little odd. He's a little, yeah. He eats a hamburger with a fork, so yeah.
He's
a little different.
His favorite is cucumber sandwiches.
Yeah. And you know, there was a major death in here, and that was actually the week that I was sick and we didn't record that issue where she died, Leslie Tompkins died. And it was a big death because it was a big part of what Batman's been for the last 30 some years.
Yeah.
Now you don't see her all the time, but it was a big And of course that didn't happen since this happened virtual reality. So you see, like, he almost, I think he almost feels like it happens because now he comes to her, her clinic and wants to take her out to dinner, her and Alfred. Yeah. So,
but what an interesting way to end this arc. You would have never thought of this. You've never would have seen it coming. You know, we've had so many different books out there where people are like, oh, well, I saw this coming. I knew this was happening. This is definitely something you would never have thought coming. And hey, good job, man. Good job. Who did the, Tomasi? Awesome.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I like that one scene where he's standing in front of all his bat suits.
Yeah.
Over time, you have the one with the purple gloves. And the oval, yellow
the
oval.
Purple gloves. Do you think the villains took him serious when he's out there at night with the purple gloves?
Yeah, I don't know. It's cool that they brought that back, and you know,
definitely interesting.
I look forward to more from Peter Tomasi. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna make a decision here. I did like this arc. I did, but like you said, you know, it made me feel disappointed. It made me feel excited. It made me feel like I heard that big womp womp sound in the background, but then at the same time, I was excited. So I think he pulled me into this arc. He got me. I laughed. I got upset sometimes, but all in all, it was really great story. It was great dialogue, great artwork. You know, awesome. Good job. We were really anticipating him coming on to this book, and we didn't know what he was going to do. At times we thought it was just weird and odd, and what the heck are you going to do with this? Now we got this last piece to the puzzle, and it looks great.
And the other thing that we got to meet some of the people that train Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for people that didn't really realize who he got trained. They know he got trained, but didn't know who he got trained. And it's interesting meeting some of those individuals. So that was kind of interesting.
It was definitely really cool. Yeah, with those trainers or whatever, you saw a little bit more deeper into what Batman is, how he became, and what he took to become Batman. I thought it was really cool that we saw that.
Exactly. Yeah. So was there anything else you wanted to add about this book?
No, I mean, I wish you would have told me that it was Batman's birthday. I mean, we could have celebrated.
Well, his anniversary is coming up here before too long, so.
All right. Well, maybe I can get you to bake us a cake.
There you go.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez here, and unfortunately, Bill had to work late tonight, and he was going to give me a character spotlight tonight, but unfortunately, we didn't give that to you guys, but we got really something really cool tonight. We've got a special guest on. We got a buddy from the Bright Side Chat podcast, DJ, on. How's it going, DJ?
Pretty good. How you doing, Joey?
I'm doing great, man. So
great.
So I kind of found you guys. I don't know how exactly I found you. I think it was over Twitter, and then I kind of listened to you guys' show a little bit. And man, I thought you guys do a really good job over there at your show. You guys are like, you guys have this like this mantra of like this positive, stay positive kind of thing. That's kind of what me and Bill do with this show. And I had to listen to you guys. I was like, well, there's not a lot of people out there staying positive with comic books, at least comic book podcasts. You know, it's easy for people to be negative. And I think that was like right in your guys' tagline. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very easy to be negative. Obviously, you see that all over Twitter. And that's kind of what we started out as. We had an idea of, you know, we loved this so much. We loved comics so much. Yeah. And it just took off from there, our ideas. And it just, there's so much negativity. And we're like, hey, let's be the contrarian and be positive about it.
Right. I mean, you're right. It's so easy to be negative. You know what I mean? But nobody ever, it's really hard for people to stay positive sometimes. especially with comic books and comic book creators nowadays, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't get frustrated, but you know what I mean? But still, I do enjoy being more positive than negative.
No, exactly. I found that listening to your podcast too. It's like you guys will talk about a particular book and you'll say like, hey, maybe it wasn't your favorite or you didn't like something about it, but you say it in a positive way. Yeah. And that's what I liked about your podcast as well. And sometimes being positive doesn't just mean that you like everything.
Right.
And that's what people are like, oh, well, you just like everything, and they get turned off by that. But that's not true. It just means that you respect what the artist does, and maybe you're not seeing exactly what they saw, or you're not interpreting it the right way, which there is no right way.
Right.
But that's fine.
Right.
You know, it's not art. Isn't for everybody.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I think I was listening to your guys' last episode, and I think you said exactly that. You know, art, you know, there's some art forms that, you know, not everybody's into. And I agree with that. Some of these books aren't for everybody. And, you know, we're just a bunch of guys getting on a microphone and talking about what we love, sometimes what we don't love, right? But, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but yeah. You know, it's fun, whatever.
Yeah. I'll get into, I could get into how we started and everything like that in a little bit if you want.
Oh yeah. Let's go ahead. I did want to talk to you about, something though. Me and Bill were kind of looking at some solicits a while back, and we saw something that was called Deceased, and it was kind of like a zombie book.
Yeah.
Have you taken a look at that yet?
Yeah. John and I have looked at that. That's my co-host, John.
Yeah.
He owns a comic book store, so I refer to him all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like, same thing, like you just said, like, what do you guys think of this? And we're baffled. And I think it seems to be that's their promotion. They go on that Jurassic Park, don't see the dinosaur back in 93 right. until the last second.
Right.
They seem to be giving you that, like, hey, here's they're so cryptic about everything, and it's actually generating interest.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're like, oh, what do you know about it? Nothing.
Right. We were talking about that earlier. I was like, what do you know about it? You're like, I don't know. There's really not much. They're being really tight-lipped with this stuff. And I think that's kind of refreshing, actually, because me and Bill were talking about it on one of the shows a couple months back, where he saw some solicits, and it basically gave away the whole book and the whole ending. And then you get to the book and then you're just like, oh man, well, that just spoiled everything. So we kind of try to, now we kind of check each other and say, hey man, stay away from the solicits. You know, they're just going to give away everything. And I think that's kind of refreshing now. You know, we got we got Deceased, and we got Superman Year One coming out in the summer, and they're both kind of being tight-lipped. I like that.
Yeah. It's like Superman and Batman, they sell themselves.
Yeah.
You just put the name out there, and people are going to generate, you know, it generates intrigue. It generates conversation just like this.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to Superman Year One.
Yeah.
And because I love Superman.
Right.
But I don't know what it's about, and a lot of times you don't even care. You'd wait to get to find out anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought it was cool. They did talk about it coming out. Yeah, I think they announced it, San Diego Comic-Con?
June.
And it's going to come out in June.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I guess originally they talked about it being like a 100-page like trade kind of thing. But now they're talking about they're just going to do like a 3-issue, like large format, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah. It'll be fun. We'll definitely be talking about it. You'll be talking about it.
Yeah.
That's what people do.
Right.
That's what they're doing it for.
But it's on the Black Label, imprint. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I just saw that. I really hope that they don't do this whole, like, controversial thing that they did with what book was that when you saw
Batman
Bat Privates?
yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm really disappointed with. I love the story.
Yeah,
the first one, the second one. I'm disappointed that we haven't gotten the third one yet.
Yeah, I don't.
So, it what's that delayed till May?
Yeah. It's going to be delayed again.
Last I heard about Black Label was it looked like it was over.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to get Wonder Woman. You know, that's what John has been talking about it.
Yeah.
He's he's keeping up on it as much as he can as a store owner. And it's, you know, it's disappointing because you get so excited for this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually looking at this and I said, whoa, it's on Black Label. I thought Black Label got killed, you know.
Exactly.
So, but, I guess not. But the covers kind of look cool.
No, that's good news.
Yeah, yeah, it's
great. You're breaking news to me here.
It's pretty cool, man. I look forward to it. I don't want to see Superman wing.
No. And I didn't even think that there was any controversy in the Batman Damned One either. Yeah. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I didn't think it was anything to write home about.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter made it big. That's the only thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's Black Label. Yeah. It is an adult book.
Right.
So
and they do say that.
It's not that big a deal.
Right. Right.
Yes.
All right, man. I want to talk to you a little bit about how you guys got your start. I know you guys have this whole thing about being, you know, positive about all this stuff. But first of all, yeah. I want to know how you got into comic books.
As a kid, just I was that kid that, you know, was a quiet kid, shy kid, small, tiny, tiny kid. I was always little, but loved to talk.
Okay.
All right. And so that kind of plays into the whole podcasting thing much, much obviously later on in life.
Yeah.
So when I was a little kid, I used to get picked on, and instead of just shy, you know, some kids get picked on and they shy away. Yeah. I didn't shy away. So I got bullied. I got picked on. So leaning into comic books was my thing of, you know, like I related to those characters.
Okay.
Like that whole Peter Parker thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Peter Parker getting picked on in the school, which is in every single, you know, origin story of Spider-Man.
Right, right.
That was me. Captain America, the scene in Winter Soldier, First Avenger, when that alley scene, that was me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I related to all of that when I was a kid, and it gave me something to do. I was also heavily art oriented. Loved to draw, loved to do all that stuff, but that was kind of my draw from a very early age back in the 70s into the 80s.
Awesome.
And then. Yeah, then I got away from it. I went to high school with John, so we knew each other.
Cool.
We didn't find out we both liked comic books until later on in high school, like towards the end of senior year, really.
Okay.
And then that was he always loved comic books too. Then he got married when he was 20. He moved away to Texas.
Okay.
Fast forward all the way to this year, and my wife gave me a birthday present to go down to Texas to visit John this summer. We went down, and I was there for 4 days, and we never shut up. And that's pretty much where the podcast idea was born.
That's
and
cool.
We both were talking the entire time about, like you and I have talked online and stuff, about why are people negative about this stuff? And then we started talking and we were like, I said, do you want to do a podcast? And we had intentions. I'm sure, like, as you know, you start off with one plan and things evolve.
Yep.
And it's pretty much evolved to where it is now. We started off with, we just wanted to take all the negative stories and do positive spins on it.
Okay.
But then, right when we were ready to go, learning what we're doing, we're like, what's their negative to come out? And we're like, Venom was coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was hating on Venom before it came out. And we're like, this is it. And then Venom came out and all the hate stopped. We're like, oh, okay. And we didn't really know what we were doing either. So that kind of,
you know, I think that's how it usually
helped
goes.
Helped us evolve into what we are.
Yeah. That's how it usually goes, right? You kind of start out, you don't know what you're doing. You work the kinks out and then, you know. It is what it is today, you know. But I mean, you guys are really great. I listened to a handful of episodes now, and man, you guys do a good job over there. It's pretty well produced as well. Even though we kind of talked about it online that we have absolutely no idea what we are both doing. But hey, man.
Yeah. I tried starting out and I was like, oh, let's just do a podcast. And then you find out what you got to do.
Yeah.
And I got some other guys I know that do podcasts and they help me out. learn how to record and do all this stuff. It's not easy.
No, it's not. It's not as easy as people think. You just put a microphone in front of you and that's it. No, it goes a little bit. There's a little bit more to it.
How did you end up here?
The way I got into comic books was I grabbed comic books off of the rack in like back in the day, there wasn't too many comic book stores everywhere like there are today. You know what I mean? So there was this cool little ice cream shop like up the road from me. Maybe about a mile down the road, and they have, those old school comic, those old school ice cream shops where they have like the magazine, racks and all that stuff. They had like three rows of them, and then they had like comic book spindles and all those, spinner racks. So I grabbed my first book off of a comic book spinner rack out of a ice cream shop. And they had like a little small little mini arcade in the back. So a lot of us could hang out there, have some ice cream and, read some books and play some games in the back. So that's where I picked up my first book. And it was cool. So that's how I got into comic books. And then.
Do you remember what your first book was?
I think my very, very first book was, I think it was a Silver Surfer book. And then,
really?
I think that was the first book that I read. And then the very first book that I ever bought was like a, I want to say like an X-Men book, and then, that's crazy for me because I'm a big Batman guy, but my first book was an X-Men book, was a Marvel book. So.
That's funny.
But yeah. And both of them, both of Silver Surfer and the X-Men, they were, one of my first books.
I envy the people that remember. I talk to a lot of people now, which I think is great because of this podcast. I started going around to comic book stores.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I like when you contact me today. I literally just came home from North Carolina.
Okay.
And I'm in Massachusetts, and I was talking to a guy yesterday in a store, an owner.
Cool.
You go in there, my wife's with me, and you just start talking, and they just want to talk.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, okay, time to go. Let's go. And we would just yap. And that's what people like us, that's just what we want to do. So like, I don't remember my first comic book.
Yeah.
I just remember I liked comics. The only comic I remember from being a kid is my dad bought me the same comic. I already owned it. I was sick. My dad went to the store, bought me like four comics.
Wow.
And he came home and he goes, here, I bought you some comics. And it was a Spider-Man with Kraven.
Okay.
And I have it now.
That's awesome.
And I bought it again. And because I know the book.
Yeah.
And he said, I go, and I'll never forget this. It was awful as a little kid. I go, oh, Dad, I already have this. And he goes, and as a dad now, I know it probably was nothing to him, but my interpretation was he looked disappointed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, I just, he thought he did something good and I just crushed him. And I know it's probably nothing to him. He probably doesn't even remember it. But to me, I was like, that's it. I'm never returning another gift he ever gives me.
When you said that, I had that same feeling just now as a dad. When you said that, I'd be like,
oh really?
Why? Come on. Yeah. Cause I'm a dad too. And I feel like if I would have brought something to my kid, it'd be like, hey, check this out. He's like, oh, I already got it. And be like, well, what the heck, man?
I was like, oh, sorry. I thought I did something good. And I was projecting all of this stuff on him.
Right.
Like, and I'm just, I was probably like 8, 10 years old or whatever. And I just, I felt, and when an 8 or a 10 year old crushes his dad or even perceives that, that's huge.
Yeah.
Cause that's Superman to you. Yeah. That's my Superman. Right? And I just crushed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. That's funny. That's cool. So how long have you guys been doing the show for?
We started in October.
In
October. And we started off, like I said, we had an idea and we took our first show was, I think it was Phantom Menace. Was it Phantom Menace was our first show? Star Wars Phantom Menace. Because how everybody didn't like that.
Yeah.
And we were like, so we thought we'd talk about it and talk what we liked about it and what we didn't like about it. We ranked it. We had a ranking back then, and we've only been going since October, and we've evolved so much since then. It's crazy.
Me and Bill had separate podcasts before this. I started off doing a podcast solo. It was a solo podcast. It was just me in front of a mic.
Really?
And I would talk about
That's awesome.
Every book that came out on New Comic Book Day. Every single book. From the big two, at least. And there was points where I was talking about 12 books at a time. And I was like, man, this is crazy. And I'm like trying to find ways to talk about them just by myself. So I started to like branch out and like find people online and have them come on as guests, kind of like me and you are doing now. And that's how me and Bill clicked up. I found Bill and his show. His show was called Too Old, Too New. And then my show was called, MCDC, which was Marvel Comics, DC Comics. And then, so we clicked up. We kind of, did guest spots and he would come on there. And then something happened to where his show fizzled out, my show fizzled out, and then he contacted me, said, hey, I got this project, it's going to be on this network, and I was thinking about you to do this, it's going to be called The Bat Pod, and it's going to be all about Batman, and I know you're a big, huge Batman guy. And I said, yeah, cool, let's try it out. So we kind of did that, and we've just been going since Batman Day in September of last year, so... That's how long we've been going as well. So, but we've had other podcasts before. And man, I went back and listened to some of my shows and I'm like, whoa, the audio was horrible.
I actually had a horrible week a couple weeks ago. My mic wasn't plugged in all the way.
Oh man.
Let me make sure this is. And, I was awful.
That's funny.
I was so mad, but stuff happens.
Hey man.
And
you can never have a perfect episode. You think this inanimate object that's sitting here with wires plugged in, it works, is going to work all the time, but it doesn't.
Right. No, it doesn't. And like, it's technology. It breaks down all the time.
Yep. You don't know how many microphones I've gone through.
You can't trust it.
how many mixers I've gone through. Man, it's my wife is counting the dollars back there right now of how many different pieces of equipment I've gone through to get where I'm at today.
Yeah. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the hobby. It's that, 'cause that's what it is right now.
Right.
See what happens with it. But it's a blast. And I can't tell you. And ask my kids. My kids are older now. They're like, oh, dad doesn't like people. It's like, 'cause I like go out in public. I stay to myself. But when I go in a comic book store now, I'm a different person. I'm meeting all these new and great people like yourself through Twitter. Everybody says Twitter's a cesspool. I wouldn't have met you if it wasn't for Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm meeting people through this podcast, through Twitter, through social media. It's just been a blast.
Yeah,
and
man.
We just started up, you know, we came up with the idea in August. Our first podcast went out in October and we're just having a blast with it. We're meeting people and
awesome.
I've now literally been all over the country.
That's pretty cool.
Meeting different stores, talking with different owners. And it's a blast.
That's one thing that I liked about your show. If nobody's ever listened to your guys' show, you specifically go out and you talk to comic shop owners and you get them to kind of, you know, promote your guys' show. Then you guys promote them at the same time.
Yeah.
You get people to do like 10% off if they mention your show, which is really cool. And I like that aspect. And I was talking to Bill. I was like, man, we need to do what these guys are doing. They're going out there and meeting these people in these different shops. And we got to get out there and try to do the same thing. Let's see. But how do we break into that? So how did you guys break into that?
Well, John owns a shop and. So we knew that's what we started off with. And then I was just like, you know what? There was a shop out here by me and I went in and I was talking to the guy telling him I'm doing a podcast. And then I went into another shop. I talked to them and I was like, this is too easy. So I started asking them about like, do you think you guys would want to sponsor us? But you don't have like, they don't pay us or anything like that.
Okay.
But they, you know what I mean? So all that they do is they are helping promote us and we're promoting them and they give our listeners a 10% discount on all the books that we talk about.
That's
so
cool.
It's, but I get to go to these stores and I'm meeting these people and not a single person. I've had stores ask me how much money that we want.
Wow.
They're like, we don't have to pay you. I was like, no, not right now. No. And I'm like, that triggered in my head, like, maybe someday.
Yeah.
I don't think we're valuable enough yet. I want to become a commodity that it's like, okay, then I'll do it. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's a hobby. I'm enjoying going out to these stores.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the one that we just picked up a few weeks ago in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you heard that podcast.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, and they have, it's a bar.
Yeah, that was cool.
So it's a comic book store that's a bar.
Yeah, you were talking about, how did you guys get that license to do that?
Yeah, and the guy was awesome. He was like, it's St. Louis. I go, so? He goes, this is on the phone. I go, so? He goes, we're the home of Budweiser. Beer and bars
and
are
everything.
Completely different attitude out here. He's like, we'll have meetings in bars and bring your kids.
Wow.
It's like the kids go over on the side. I was like, okay. So yeah, he keeps it like, you know, it's real low key.
Yeah.
People come in, have some drinks, read their books, whatever. And I can't wait to get out there. Yeah. It's just, it just kind of like dawned on me to do this.
Yeah.
And then not a single owner has said no.
That's awesome.
From everybody I've asked, and they're all just like, yeah, sure. That sounds great. I mean, they also know they're talking about podcasting, so they probably don't have any listeners yet, so there's no threat to them.
Right.
Like, there's not going to be a line of people looking for a 10% discount.
Right.
But it's I love getting to talk to these people, and for me, that's new.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's awesome, man. I wanted to ask you one last thing. Was there, I mean, I don't know if you know anything about any books that are coming out over the summer, but is there anything comic book related or comic books in general that you're looking forward to coming out this summer?
War of the Realms.
Okay. Yeah, you talked about that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Marvel to do something big. I'm a Marvel guy. I was a Marvel kid.
Okay.
I didn't care either way. It's not like I would... I love both all growing up, but I always lean towards... I always lean towards Spider-Man, Marvel. I lean yeah. towards that type of character.
Yeah.
I just saw them there. Superman's my dad. So that's that. And you can't beat that with anything.
Right.
But that's, it's almost like infallible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where Spider-Man, all of the Marvel heroes that I followed and most of the Stan Lee's creations, they were all flawed.
Yeah.
Where I felt mm-hmm. like Superman wasn't flawed. It, you know, other than being an alien, which isn't a flaw.
Yeah.
So other than that, it's, I'm really waiting for something big out of Marvel. It's been so, we've been heavy, heavy DC lately.
Yeah.
And it sounds funny saying that, like waiting something big from Marvel when we just finished, you know, Captain Marvel and Endgame's coming out soon.
Right.
It's like they're big in the theaters,
yeah.
but they're not big in the books right now.
Yeah.
And that's prevalent in all the conversations I'm having in the stores and stuff. Yeah. Everybody's like, the books just aren't there for them right now.
Yeah, and it's kind of
I'm kind of really looking forward to that.
And it's kind of opposite for DC, you know. I mean, they're not there in theaters, but they're there with the books.
Yes, exactly. And it's, I mean, the DC fan, neither fan of, if you wanted to pick one, is missing for content. It's
oh, yeah.
different content, but
yeah.
you're not missing for content.
Right.
We're lucky where, you know, I'm fans of both, fans of all. And
yeah.
There's just so much content right now. It's the best time. Best time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So this summer I was, I'm kind of sad because I'm not able to go, but I was me and Bill and all the guys on the Nerdy Legion Network. We all got invited to go to C2E2 this year in Chicago. And, and we all got press badges and all that good stuff. But I'm not able to go. I've got, I've got a daughter who's turning 16 that weekend, so that takes precedence over a comic book convention.
Oh, boy.
That was scary.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Or is that like, congratulations, you're going to die soon?
No, you'll be fine. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's going to get rough for a little
bit.
You
say that now.
It's awesome.
You say that now because I'm not inside the passenger seat with her in the car.
Right yeah, there you go.
If she's standing behind me, no, just kidding.
Yeah. My daughter was on my podcast 2 weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
And she was a blast to teach how to drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fun.
And she's a great driver now.
It's fun. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's a little scary because you're just like, it's the first time that this is happening and, well, you know, you got to go through it, whatever. But yeah, so I'm doing that instead.
Yeah.
I'm not able to go, but Bill's going and he's actually gearing up to be heading out there pretty soon on Thursday. And
awesome.
It should be really cool, man. They got all kinds of great stuff going on out there this year. So hopefully he comes back with some great news that we could talk about on the show. So
yeah, that'll be awesome. I can't wait to hear. Yeah.
All right, man.
And I can't wait to hear the trials and tribulations of your daughter's driving.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. This was pretty fun. I'm excited for you guys, and I'm excited to have you on. Can you tell us where everybody can find you guys?
Oh, well, you can find us on our podcast is on iTunes. It's on Google Play. We just got on Spotify a couple weeks ago. All you have to do is search The Bright Side Chat. You can find us on Twitter at @TheBrightSide_chat. You can email us at TheBrightSideChat@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook. You can just search The Bright Side Chat. But yeah, hit us up. Let us know anything you want us to talk about. Or hey, if you have a store and you want it to be a sponsor, let me know. I'll give him a call.
All right, man. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thanks for asking.
You're welcome. Yeah, you got to check out their show. It's a really cool show. I think it's, you know, going to be right at the top of my queue now. You know, I'm a contract painter, so I got a lot of time sometimes. I'm up on those ladders
yep.
I got a lot of time to listen to podcasts. So your guys is going to be one of those ones that I'm always going to be looking for. So I appreciate you coming out, and I'm excited to hear what comes up next, guys. All right, guys, we will see you guys later. Thanks, DJ, for coming on. Guys, go check out the Bright Side Chat podcast on any streaming service of your choice, and hit them up and let them know how they're doing on iTunes. We'll see you guys later. Thank you.
So let's go ahead and wrap things up here. We really appreciate all the likes and retweets that we got on Twitter. And we've had some newer iTunes reviews, and we really wanted to shout out. So, our latest iTunes review is from Goalie54, in the title, A Batman Fan Must. If you're a Batman fan, you need to check this out. This podcast is so well produced, has so much bat knowledge. I just got sucked in. These guys are great and such in a positive way. I can't recommend them enough. Plus, they're so respected and positive. That doesn't mean they like everything, but they respect all the artists and writers, which is pretty refreshing in this day and age.
Awesome.
So very nice, Will. Thank you very much for your compliments there.
Yeah, I think that was one of our buddies over at the Bright Side Chat podcast. Those guys are actually really cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I recognize his name. Yeah, they're really cool over there. They have a really cool podcast over there. They are very respectable of the creators, and they're super, super positive as well. They're all about celebrating the characters and the story and creators, and they have just as much a love for this stuff as we do, and they never bash anybody. I love it. They are some really cool guys. You guys haven't checked them out yet, go check them out. It's the Bright Side Chat podcast.
Very cool. Very cool. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think I definitely loved all these books. You know, Nightwing has definitely been awesome. I was a little wary of, you know, not ever seeing Dick Grayson don the Nightwing costume, and I don't even know if he ever is again, but I really liked that book a whole lot. I really liked 999 because it kind of, you know, threw me off a little bit and made me hate love it. So really cool. Batman Flash crossover, really awesome. We did not get any answers or clues, but it was a great story.
Yeah. Yep. We had some good issues this week, so.
And I won.
I don't seem to remember. I didn't have that written down anywhere.
I won. I won. You hear that, guys? I won.
The co-host, you won?
I won.
We did that so long ago, I don't really remember. Joey says he was won, so
you must
we need to take his word for it.
Did I send you one of my hats that I got in the mail? You must be, you're losing.
No, you did not.
You're losing a little bit of memory there.
No, I'm not going to wear a top hat.
You got to, man. It's Batman's birthday. It's Bruce Wayne's birthday. You got to celebrate it with the top hat.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. So, if you'd like to be a part of the Batpod, we have an email. Our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Also, you can send us an audio clip of that email. We'll play it right on the show.
And if you guys would like to get a hold of us at our bat phone, yes, we have a bat phone. That phone number is 410-449-0650. Again, the bat phone number is 410-449-0650.
And we are on Twitter. It's at PodBat. I am at GothamKnight13.
And I'm at JoeyGalvez84.
Okay, we'll be back in a few weeks. Same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later. We'll be right back.